I need a job with a steady paycheck.
I need a job that offers health care on day one for me and my kids.
I want a job where I can get certified in technical roles, like robotics or software engineering.
In communities across the country, hourly Amazon employees earn an average of over $23 an hour, with opportunities to grow their skills and their paycheck by enrolling in free skills training programs and apprenticeships. Learn more at aboutamazon.com.
In a world of endless notifications, there could be an important one you're missing. Your kidneys may be signaling an SOS. With high blood pressure or type 2 diabetes, your kidneys could be warning you of early signs of damage, which may put you at higher risk for events like heart attack or stroke. But there's a simple test that can help spot a hidden signal. Ask your doctor about a urine test called UACR to help detect kidney disease and heart risk early. To learn more, visit detecttheSOS.com today.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
For hour two of the Daily Tiff on the BetMGM Network, I'm Chelsea Messenger, Kay Conkle, in for Jenks today. And in this segment, we will get into the craziness that was college football over the weekend, including all three of the top teams remaining undefeated. But boy, did it get exciting for Indiana down the stretch. One of the best catches you'll ever see in the end zone for Omar Guber Jr. And Indiana gets the job done with 36 seconds left. And here's how it went down.
In trouble! It's in! Touchdown! Wow! Oh, wow, Cooper! Unbelievable!
All right, so I feel like I need subtitles on that, and I do need to explain what's really going on, because this was a great pass from Fernando Mendoza to the back of the end zone, and Omar Guber Jr. doing the toe drag swag. What a thrilling finish. And of course, Indiana still hoping for one of those top spots in the college football playoff. Kate, Indiana has become one of my favorite teams to watch.
They're so fun. And after last season, a lot of other people thought, can they continue what they did last year? Can they continue having that type of success? I mean, this is an Indiana program. When was the last time Indiana was good? People didn't even show up for their games. The stands were empty. And now Indiana, among the top two teams with Ohio State in the Big Ten, likely on a path to the Big Ten championship and the college football playoff. Like, this is a really fun Indiana team. And I think Kurt Cignetti, their head coach, makes it even a little bit more interesting, because his postgame quotes or media session quotes are often pretty fun too. The Google me, all of that. So this is just a cool team to watch. I didn't think they were going to be able to pull it out against Penn State. I thought that was going to be their first loss of the season, but you get a Cooper touchdown, like you said, the little toe tap in the end zone, and it is a W for Indiana. Pretty impressive.
It feels like when teams have like magical runs, there's a few of these wins kind of peppered in. And sometimes we talk about this phrase on the show, and we call it the team of destiny, where we gave this crown to multiple teams throughout the postseason in baseball. And I think we were wrong on just about all of them. But let me ask you, does it feel like this is a team of destiny this year for Indiana?
I mean, a little bit, but also like not really because of the success that they had last season. Like if this was the run that they were making, and I know they did go like win a ton of games last year, but if this was the first year we saw them play like this and they made it to the college football playoff, and well, maybe last year was the team of destiny and this year is just the team we thought that they could be, or they're playing up to expectations this year. If you can beat Ohio State, then maybe I'll change my tune, because I think Ohio State is clearly the number one in the conference. You drop down to a second tier, it's Indiana by themselves, and then a third tier, and it's a couple other of those Oregons, those, dare I say, USC, which is crazy that they're, you know, only a couple losses. So different tiers, but certainly Indiana's close to the top of those.
Well,
and especially when you're talking about a college football playoff where it is a one game sample size. Where am I going to stand here and say Indiana does not have a chance against Ohio State? No. Like right now, the numbers, I feel like, favor Ohio State more just because across the board, they have the best receiver in the country. You know, Julian Sand completing like what a crazy amount of his passes. Like, I think it's close to like 80%, something wild like that. Their defense is crazy talented, but Indiana's good too. And it feels like they have had to prove it to everybody as opposed to Ohio State, where it's just kind of handed the credit, where it's like, okay, Ohio State is here. They got their preseason top five ranking, but Indiana has had to prove a lot of doubters wrong, so they will have to continue to do so. But it's been a great season, and this is a very talented squad. And a win is a win is a win. Even if it's against a Penn State team that was down and out, this is still a good road win for Indiana. And as we saw over the weekend, road wins are not the easiest to come by. Kate, I know it was a heartbreaker for your team, Iowa, over the weekend, where it's pouring rain. Oregon ekes it out 18-16. Let me ask you this. What do you think is ideal football weather? Because I think everybody has a different definition of this. If you are somebody who is old school and likes defense and running the football, you say, okay, I want snow. I want elements. I want it to be a little cold, maybe a little rain or sleet coming down. For me, this is not what I prefer, but what is football weather to you?
I love like a crisp fall day football weather. I don't love the rain or the snow. I just want it to be clean conditions, but a little chilly out there where maybe the guy's got the long sleeves on, the compression shirts, all that stuff. I think that's ideal football. At least that's ideal as a fan viewing weather for football. Cause I don't want to stand in the rain. I don't want to stand in the snow for that. Maybe I'm just getting old and don't really care about that stuff anymore. But if you're Iowa football, I think you like some of the elements because that plays right into how they want to play with the defense, the grind it out, the run the ball type of stuff. But as a fan, someone watching, and if I were a player, I think the ideal conditions would be like a crisp fall day, 50s, low 60s, something like that. Because you also don't want it too hot. Like, some of these late August games, early September games, the sun's like beating down on you, and that's a lot too.
I do think it tests like a football team and how they can win games in like multiple ways, you know, because if you have a team that's like super pass heavy and, you know, say they're from the South and they're used to playing in warmer weather, you get to the college football playoff and maybe go on the road to one of these schools that are further up north. You have to play in the snow. And it's obviously a different ball game. So I think it's interesting to watch all sorts of games. Not as somebody who is in the stands, because I will be parked on my couch if it's, you know, below 40 degrees. But I do think it kind of tests team. Like, to put it in the opposite perspective, like, I don't want a sport where all of the games are indoors. I feel like that takes away an element of it.
Yeah, I like that. I mean, teams that play in dome stadiums still obviously have to go on the road to cold weather games. I mean, we see it with the Dolphins every year when they have to travel to snowy conditions. They're going to lose football games. They're a team that hasn't learned how to play in cold weather. On the flip side, teams going to Miami early on in the season that aren't used to playing in that type of heat, like, that's another element that gets thrown out there. So it just adds more flair to the game that I think is kind of fun. But getting older as a fan, I mean, yesterday my husband went to the Bears game and it was like 14, felt like 14 degrees. It was a little snowy. I was sitting on the couch, nice and cozy and warm. I was the smart one of the two of us. And I enjoyed watching the game that way. So that's probably going to be, that makes me sound so old. Back in the day, I would have been like, you get your liquor blanket going early on, you tailgate and you don't even care that it's like negative 10. You're having icy, slushy beers, and that's phenomenal. But no, not these days.
Yeah, that's not how I want to spend my afternoon these days. You're right. Maybe a younger version of me, but not anymore. Yeah. I want my heated blanket sitting on the couch with some hot coffee or something. That sounds like the job for me. All right, so over the weekend in the ACC, we knew things were going to get crazy in the Atlantic Coast Conference because it's been one of those week-to-week conferences, it feels like every week of the season, where who's going to lose, who's going to be better. We saw a couple of quote-unquote upsets. Number 14, UVA loses to Wake Forest 16-9, and the number 15, Louisville, lost to California, or Cal, 29-26 in overtime. So somebody contractually has to be in the college football playoff from the ACC. So whoever wins the conference is going to be in. Right now, here are the standings. Number 17, Georgia Tech, stands at 8-1 with a 5-1 conference record. They are 2-1 to win the ACC, followed by Virginia. Pitt, who I will say College Game Day is going to Pittsburgh this weekend for that big game against Notre Dame, followed by SMU, Duke, Louisville, and Miami. What a fall it's been for the Hurricanes. From a team that looked like a lock to be in the college football playoff, now 15-1 to win the ACC. Now, I've gone on the record before. I'm not a huge fan of the ACC as a conference, and I feel like the college football playoff committee isn't either. But I do think there are some interesting teams in here. Like, you look at Georgia Tech, and certainly we've seen how Brent Key can play against some of these top-notch competition teams, where, you know, Georgia Tech standing at 8-1 right now. We know the strength of schedule has not been maybe as strong as some of these teams in the SEC, but as far as scoring goes, Haynes King and that offense can certainly light it up.
Yeah, they're really fun to watch. And Haynes King can use his legs like no other. He's such a mobile quarterback that he racks up the yards on the ground, too. This, I think the ACC is going to come down to, what are we at right now? We're going into week 12. So week 13, because Pitt plays Georgia Tech week 13. And that, I think, is going to decide who has a bid to the ACC championship game. Because if Pitt beats Georgia Tech, then both of those schools have two losses, Pitt the tiebreaker, and Georgia Tech still has to play Georgia in the last week of the season. So Georgia Tech could end up with three losses, and even though they're sitting pretty right now at 8-1 overall, 5-1 in the conference, they could, I mean, if they're not careful, they could be slipping out of that top spot or a top two spot, because the path forward for Virginia is pretty easy. They have Duke and Virginia Tech, so you have to imagine they're not going to lose too many more games, if at all. So a two-loss team there. So I think this could be Pitt in the title game, depending on what happens against Georgia Tech in 2 weeks.
Yeah, and we'll see how they look against Notre Dame, as we have a top 25 matchup this weekend for the Panthers. But I do think no matter who makes it in, I don't have a ton of faith in any of these teams really to be a true contender in the national championship picture. No. Like, maybe Georgia Tech, but their defense also, it feels like, can't stop anybody. Like, they can score a lot of points, but their defense gives up a ton of big plays. So at the end of the day, like, somebody has to make it in from the ACC, but I still think we are talking about those top three teams in Ohio State, Indiana, and we haven't even mentioned Texas A&M. They improved to 9-0. A very solid defense that, man, they're good too. I feel like everybody loves to talk about Ohio State v. Indiana, but Texas A&M certainly belongs in that discussion as well.
Texas A&M, I mean, Texas Tech too in the Big 12. I think they're going to win the Big 12, be in the college football playoff. And because they come from that conference that, like the ACC, is quote unquote a down conference, people aren't quite as high on Texas Tech. But I think they're a team that should be feared in the playoff. They could, it isn't even surprising a lot of people. I don't think people should be surprised at this point. But if they, I mean, they win a game or two in the college football playoff, certainly think that that is a possibility. And back to your point on whoever comes out of the ACC, I don't have a whole lot of faith of them making a deep run in the playoff. Sure, they're going to get a team in because that's how it works, but it might be a one and done for this, for whatever school from the ACC goes.
I think matchups will matter a lot when it comes to the college football playoff. And we've seen this because there are certain teams that I feel like have really good strengths, but they'll have like one key weakness. Like when you look at Texas Tech, like their line play is really good. Their defensive line is amazing. But like the quarterback play from Baron Morton has not been something that flies off the page. Like his stats are fine, 16 touchdowns, 4 picks. But if you compare him to some of the other like passing offenses in college football, like if they match up against like Alabama and Ty Simpson and that passing attack, like that's when you start to wonder. So I think matchups will matter, and we'll see when the bracket finally comes out on how some of these things match up. you know, who's going to be matchup with who. But I do think at the end of the day, like, matchups will matter. And that's where those rankings really start to, you know, pull their weight. So I wanted to ask you this because it feels like a big question. How big is the gap between Indiana and Ohio State? Like, I do think maybe there is a small gap. But at the end of the day, if these two teams played head to head, I feel like it could be anybody's game.
I feel like if they played neutral site game, spread would be 3.5 in favor of Ohio State. Mm-hmm. I don't think it's a massive gap between the two, but I do think Ohio State is the better team. And their defense is just so good. Like, how good was their defense last year? It's even better this year. Jeremiah Smith, the numbers he's putting up, like, they have those superstar players that Indiana just doesn't quite have the same caliber. Like, Indiana is a great all-around football team, but they don't have the same players that pop quite like Ohio State does. And I think that's part of the difference. Ohio State also has the experience, and that's a major factor as well. I know, yes, last year Indiana made the college football playoff. You can say that's experience there, but, like, historic experience in these big moments, that obviously favors Ohio State.
Yeah. Either way, I will be tuned in. That's a matchup I would want to watch. Speaking of Monday Night Football, a matchup of two great teams, Eagles and Packers. How do we bet it? It's next on the Daily Tip, presented by BetMGM.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
In communities across the country, hourly Amazon employees earn an average of over $23 an hour, with opportunities to grow their career and their paycheck. Learn more at aboutamazon.com.
Holiday PSA from DSW. This is a reminder that shoes are a gift, literally. So unwrap something good, like boots that inspire your next big adventure, or cozy slippers that give you an excuse to stay in, or sneakers that feel like pure joy. Because shoes aren't just shoes, they're exactly what you wanted. Let us surprise you so you can surprise them. Find shoes that get you and everyone on your list at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or DSW.com.
Hey, Ryan Reynolds here, wishing you a very happy half-off holiday, because right now, Mint Mobile is offering you the gift of 50% off unlimited. To be clear, that's half price, not half the service. And Mint is still premium unlimited wireless for a great price. So, that means a half day, yeah?
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3 month plan, equivalent to $15 per month required. New customer offer for first 3 months only. Speed slow after 35 gigabytes of network's busy. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
I'm caught up in the game. My attention is on every play and every whistle. But what I'm missing is a signal coming from my kidneys. That signal isn't like a ref's whistle. It's more of a silent SOS, which could be warning me of an increased risk for events like heart attack or stroke. And a way I can catch that signal? A simple urine test called UACR. If you have type 2 diabetes or high blood pressure, talk to your doctor about the UACR test. Detect the SOS. Visit detectthesos.com to learn more.
All right, we're off. We're running. It's a Monday, which means we have Monday Night Football tonight between the Eagles and the Packers. We'll get into our best bets here in mere moments on the show. I'm Chelsea Messenger. She's Kate Constable. Kate, let's start with this. Do you ever look at the betting splits over at BetMGM and you say, okay, please don't let me be on the public side of this game? Because I just looked and 74% of the bets are on the Eagles getting a point in this game.
Yeah, that never makes me feel very good. Whenever I'm on the side of the public, things always seem to go wrong. It was last week, the Lions were the most bet team publicly over at BetMGM. Mm. I was all over the Lions last week, and I was all over the losses with the Lions last week. So, yeah, it always does seem like there's a couple, one or two bets that are the most public, and they seem to lose every single week. So that scares me because, Chelsea, I'm on the Eagles tonight.
Same. And that doesn't make me feel great. But I will say this. Sometimes the public does get it right. It's not, you know, all the time, but sometimes they do get it right. And I'll say this about, as I was looking through the scores yesterday, especially for the later games, holy overs, Batman. And we know that the public loves overs. Some of these final scores, 36 to 29, 44 to 22, 44 to 22, 42 to 26, until we got to Sunday Night Football, and that looked like a baseball game for half the time. Final score, Chargers 25-10 win over the Steelers. But my point being is that just because the public's on something, if you still feel strongly about it, I think you still play it.
Yeah, and I would imagine the public was all over the Lions again yesterday. I played the Lions heavily yesterday. That was clearly the right move. So it doesn't necessarily, like, I will never get off of a game because the public is all over it, but it just makes me feel a little unsettled. Like, it makes me feel like, okay, what am I missing on the sharp side or the non-public side that other people are seeing that I'm not? So we'll see kind of what happens tonight. But yeah, overs yesterday in the afternoon slate. I mean, those games were not only the overs were hitting, but they were also over before they even got started. They were blowouts early on.
Right. And they cleared their totals by a lot. Like, they had totals in the 60s. So it was no sweat over city for a lot of those games. But I will say this, like, sometimes it makes me nervous when the public is very heavily on one side, but the line moves the opposite direction.
Yeah.
We're not seeing that in this Eagles and Packers game. So it opened where the Eagles getting a point and a half. Now it's down to the Eagles getting a mere point over at BetMGM. So the fact that those correlate, you know, it usually signals that not only is the percentage of tickets on the Eagles, but the percentage of the money. So if you're new here and you're wondering, what do I mean by that? Is that usually you look at the public split and you say, okay, the amount of tickets is the amount of bets. So even people who are betting, you know, $2-3 on these games, their bets count the same amount in the ticket count. But when you talk about the money, it can skew more. Say there's somebody who puts $1 million down on the Eagles. That goes to the handle. So the fact that both these things kind of correlate here, it does make me feel a little bit better.
Yeah, that's always good to see. Whenever you get some of that reverse alignment, I know there's a lot of people out there that don't believe in a reverse line movement, but it's a thing for a reason. Like, the fact that the line moves when the money is in the opposite direction, that signals something happening. Doesn't always mean one side is right or not, but it makes you feel better if you're on the public, heavily public side, when the line is also continuing to move in that side, because it's good signs that both of those are correlated.
Yeah, we could definitely get in the weeds and be like, well, there's head fakes sometimes, and sometimes they want on a certain number, but that's very in the weeds, and we don't have time for that. We got a game to get to. All right, so the big matchup that we're referencing, Eagles and Packers at Lambeau, Green Bay laying a point, total of 45 and a half. So as we mentioned, a lot of the public is leaning towards the Eagles here, and it's easy to see why. The Eagles coming off a bye week, and also they added a bunch of pieces to that defense, including Jaire Alexander, who won't be playing tonight just because he is still nursing an injury. It's the coach's decision. He's not going to travel. But they do have Jalen Phillips, who came over from the Dolphins, a great defensive end, an edge rusher, and also Nolan Smith returning from injured reserve to beef up that pass rush as well. And then you look at the Packers, who are coming off a game in which they did not look great. What was it, a couple games ago against the Panthers? The Panthers, I feel like, laid the
last game plan against the Panthers
on how
awful.
Yeah, they kind of laid the game plan on how you beat the Packers, and it's running the football. Like, Rico Dowdle had, like, what, 130 rush yards on 25 carries in that game? That's embarrassing. So now you have an Eagles offensive line that's much better, and you have a running back that's one of the best running backs in the league. I know it's not been a great year for Saquon Barkley, at least compared to last year, but still, we've seen flashes of it. So I feel like Saquon's going to take over this game a little bit, and I do think the Eagles win. So call me Joe or Jane Public, because I do like the Eagles as well.
I'm with you, Tulsa. I like the Eagles to win this one. They're a little momentum coming into this game with two straight wins. And yeah, I mean, the win in Minnesota, I think, was impressive. But the Giants win last week, like, the Giants aren't a good football team. And without Cam Scataboo, like, the Eagles should have won that game in the manner that they did. I mean, they took care of business, so that's obviously a great sign here. But I think the Eagles are the more complete team because I still have a lot of concerns about the Packers' offense. Sure, Green Bay's defense is great. Micah Parsons has bolstered that. Who's the guy on the other side? Rashawn Gary. He's been great so far this season. Partially because Micah Parsons needs so much attention on the other side. But so I believe in the Packers defense. I'm not sure I believe in the Packers offense. Like we talked in the offseason about them having a receiving core by committee and you don't necessarily need a wide receiver one. I think they kind of do. And I don't think they know who to go to. Tucker Kraft was kind of becoming that guy early on in the season. He was playing great. He goes out last week. He's done for the season. So that's going to throw a wrench in their offense as well. And then you talk about the run game. Yeah, Saquon hasn't been great, but if Rico Dowdle can take advantage of this Packers defense, I think Saquon Barkley can also do the same. So I'm going with the Eagles here. I'll take him on the money line to win in Green Bay. I also love a Jalen Hurts anytime touchdown because remember back in the Tush Push days when the league was trying to get it banned or there were some coaches, Green Bay was at the very forefront of that. And so I think the Eagles are going to, any chance they get, they're going to kind of say, all right, we're going to shove it to you and do a little shove on the Tush Push. I think Jalen Hurts, anytime touchdown, that number has come down quite a bit. It was like plus 120. I think you're getting around even money for it right now, but it's still a good look.
Yeah, it's plus 115 over at BetMGM currently. I think this is going to be a very popular play because of the narrative that you mentioned, because nobody looks at Philly and says, oh, that's not a petty city, right? No, they're absolutely petty. So it feels like you got to do the tush push against the Packers, the team that was trying to ban it from the NFL. And plus, even if there wasn't a narrative involved, like Jalen Hurts to score a touchdown is still a solid play. You know, any single game of the year, like he is a threat in the end zone to rush it in with his legs, whether it's the tush push or just a, you know, him scrambling around and finding the end zone. So I feel like this is a solid play, especially at plus money. What's wild to me, Kate, is that you can get all of the Eagles players at plus money to score a touchdown. Like there was a day and age in which Saquon Barkley used to be like minus 200 to score a touchdown. I understand the total in this game is 45.5, which is a low total, but Saquon to score a touchdown is plus 105 as well.
I mean, you're right. We don't get that all that often. So I couldn't discourage anyone. I'm not going to for touchdown scores for the Eagles just at those prices. I did a little touchdown parlay, which is just kind of for funsies, but with Jalen Hurts and Josh Jacobs, because Josh Jacobs is the player that has the crazy odds every week. I mean, he's minus 155 for an anytime touchdown this week. You're not going to play that by itself, but throw that into a little two player touchdown parlay with Jalen Hurts and you get kind of a nice number, or you compare it with Saquon Barkley. That would be fine too. Anything like that. But it is odd that we're getting plus money on those two players, Hurts and Barkley, just because last season that was certainly not the case.
Right. And it should be noted, we were talking about football weather earlier. This is going to be football weather. Going to be 30 degrees at Lambeau, which is kind of what you expect when we get into November and December at Lambeau. But I don't think it's really going to affect the game too much. They are calling for maybe some wind gusts up to 15 miles an hour. So maybe that impacts the kicking game. But what is your take on this total? 45.5. It's kind of low. And we just talked about some of these games like sailing over the totals. But I will say this, primetime games haven't been quite as prolific as we saw last night between the Chargers and the Steelers. But I do think the Eagles can score some points here.
I do too. I initially thought this was a little too low. Once you add in just the weather and the wind, that's the factor that you want to look at when weather is dictating a total. Like it's not necessarily the rain or the slippery ball. It's how high are those winds, because that affects the passing game. And for an Eagles team that struggled with the passing game early on in the season, they've kind of got that back on track, but that could derail things a little bit. You talk about the kicking game with the wind not being all that great. So I'm going to lean under, especially because primetime games have been lower scoring. But that's why I'm on the Eagles, is I have a lot more confidence in them scoring and finding the end zone than I do for the Packers. So I'm going to go under. I'm going to go Eagles. Not necessarily putting those two together, but that's where I would look in this one.
I do think if the Eagles are controlling this game, they're going to run the football. And we know that usually spells unders. You know, if you are playing a clock management game where the Eagles just, you know, pass it off to Saquon Barkley every single time, usually we'll see those games be kind of lower scoring. And I think that's what that kind of indicates. But I will say, you know, from an Eagle standpoint, if we're talking about them scoring points, if there's any offensive line that can handle the challenges of Rashawn Gary and Micah Parsons, it's probably the Eagles. Like, I feel like against other teams, against lesser opponents, sometimes you get this pass rush and it can, you know, wreak havoc on opposite offensive lines. But the Eagles are one of the best offensive lines in football. And also, they're rested. Like, if there's any team that's equipped to do the tush push more than ever, it's a team that's had an extra week of rest. So any way you slice it, I keep landing on the Eagles. So let me ask you this. Do you do Eagles on the money line or do you take the point?
I'm going to take Eagles on the money line. Eagles money line. Although I will say the Eagles, I mean, these are like those trends that people like to look at, and I don't pay very close attention to them, especially when the sample size is this small. But Philadelphia is 2-6-1 against the spread in their last 9 post bye week games versus NFC teams. So coming off a little rest, not great versus the NFC. But yeah, no, I'm still backing the Eagles. I'm just going to take them on the money line to win outright. I don't love this Packers team this year. I mean, second shortest odds to win the NFC right now behind the Lions. And I know their record indicates that they've been fairly good this year. Only 2 losses. They're 3-1 at home. But the losses, like the losses to the Panthers last week, that was really concerning. Panthers are better this year. And the Browns. Yeah, those two, are their 2 losses. I mean, those are brutal losses. So yeah, I just have more faith in this Eagles team, even on the road.
It just feels like it's been one of those years where nobody's really that dominant until, like, it does feel like this is the time of year where, like, the Chiefs gain steam and the Eagles gain steam. And those teams that were playing deep in the postseason last year, it feels like they've woken up for the year. They're like, all right, now it's really time to get it together. And that's what I feel like about the Eagles, especially like in this game. Like, I understand you look at the numbers for the entirety of the season and you say, okay, this Eagles team has been underwhelming. But if you look at the smaller sample size over the last few games, it does feel like they are starting to get some momentum, especially with that offense scoring at least 28 points in both of their last 2 games. So this is an offense that I'm afraid of when that offensive line gets going. And especially when you are a physical team, I feel like that week off helps even more.
Talk about teams starting to get going and separating themselves. I believe next week is when Toyotathon starts. Are you familiar with the Toyotathon Jordan Love narrative?
No.
Jordan Love may get going next week. He balls out during Toyotathon. Last 2 seasons, a Toyotathon starts mid November to mid December, and Jordan Love's stats in those times, I mean, he's unbelievable. So Packers may start separating themselves next week after a loss to the Eagles this week. Then Jordan Love takes off. I mean, talk about narratives, Chelsea. Doesn't get much better than that.
That sounds like a really safe bet. I feel like you should put the mortgage on Toyotathon version of Jordan Love. But maybe a little too late because I am on the Eagles here. I was thinking about maybe a Saquon Barkley prop because obviously that is the narrative that I'm going with here. His numbers are not as astronomical as they used to be, but it's still a pretty high number. 78.5 is his rushing yard prop. Juicy over at -115. I would lean towards the over there because I do think he gets a lot of carries. And here's the thing. We haven't seen a ton of explosive runs from him this year. And I think that's been the difference. But we've seen little flashes over the past couple of games. So I think it's in there somewhere. I think Saquon can rip off a big one tonight in an Eagles win. Or at least we're hoping that is the case. All right, coming up next here on the show, who's going to win MVP this year? And will it be Drake May? It's next on the Daily Tip.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
I need a job with a steady paycheck.
I need a job that offers healthcare on day 1 for me and my kids. I want a job where I can get certified in technical roles, like robotics or software engineering.
In communities across the country, hourly Amazon employees earn an average of over $23 an hour, with opportunities to grow their skills and their paycheck by enrolling in free skills training programs and apprenticeships. Learn more at aboutamazon.com.
Holiday PSA from DSW. This is a reminder that shoes are a gift, literally. So unwrap something good, like boots that inspire your next big adventure, or cozy slippers that give you an excuse to stay in, or sneakers that feel like pure joy. Because shoes aren't just shoes, they're exactly what you wanted. Let us surprise you so you can surprise them. Find shoes that get you and everyone on your list at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or DSW.com.
Hey, Ryan Reynolds here, wishing you a very happy half-off holiday, because right now, Mint Mobile is offering you the gift of 50% off unlimited. To be clear, that's half price, not half the service. And Mint is still premium unlimited wireless for a great price. So, that means a half day, yeah?
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3 month plan, equivalent to $15 per month required. New customer offer for first 3 months only. Speeds low after 35 gigabytes of networks busy. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
I'm caught up in the game. My attention is on every play and every whistle. But what I'm missing is a signal coming from my kidneys. That signal isn't like a ref's whistle. It's more of a silent SOS, which could be warning me of an increased risk for events like heart attack or stroke. And a way I can catch that signal? A simple urine test called UACR. If you have type 2 diabetes or high blood pressure, talk to your doctor about the UACR test. Detect the SOS. Visit detectthesos.com to learn more.
I wonder if some of the players look at this and feel disrespected. Because right now, Matt Stafford is your favorite at plus 275, but it's a very short lead over Drake May, who is 3-1. And I understand Drake May is having a great season. But some of these numbers, man, like Matt Stafford has 25 touchdowns to only 2 picks this year. Drake May has 19 touchdowns to 5 picks. Is there really only 25 cents difference between these two players? If I'm Matt Stafford, I'm looking at this and being like, what does this old bag of bones have to do to prove to you guys that I'm the MVP right now?
Matt Stafford should feel disrespected based on how his odds, I mean, going into yesterday's game, he was like the fourth favorite at 6-1. He throws 4 touchdowns, third straight game throwing at least 4 touchdowns, first player to do that without a single pick in NFL history, and all of a sudden that's what carries him over the edge in terms of MVP odds. So I mean, hey, I hope anyone who likes Matthew Stafford for MVP got him yesterday prior to the game, because plus 275, not a great price compared to the 6-1 or even the longer numbers that you could have gotten him at. Plus, Matthew Stafford's doing this in year 17. I know it's also impressive that Drake May is doing this in year 2, but year 17 and the touchdown to interception ratio that Stafford has 2 interceptions all season. When he's thrown 25 touchdowns, he only, 100 less yards, 100 plus less yards Drake May through the air. Whatever. Those kind of wash each other out. But 25 touchdowns to 2 interceptions, that's pretty impressive to me. Matt Stafford's been my MVP for a long time. And I mean, finally, the books are looking that same way as well.
Yeah, Matt Stafford has been Kate's personal MVP for quite some time now.
I mean, he certainly has. The guy's a silver fox.
But here's the thing. Like, there was this narrative to start the season where you look at his age, and so many people had questions about the Rams overall just because they said, how do we know if Matt Stafford's going to play in these games? And what's wild to me is that we have seen precedent for this, where Matt Stafford has been the toughest guy, it feels like, in the NFL multiple times in his career, where he's playing through a broken collarbone, he's playing through all these injuries, and he still puts up great numbers. So it's one of those things where I knew when people said this, and obviously hindsight is 20/20, when people are like, oh, he's getting an epidural, there's no way to know how he's gonna be after that. Like, the guy survived worse. Like, I've had an epidural and I gave birth to a child. I'm not saying it's the same thing. I am just saying that don't you doubt Matt Stafford, because he is extremely tough. He plays through a lot of this, And it feels like age is just a number to him. Like, to put into perspective what he was to start the season, he was 33-1 to win MVP to start the year. And now he sits at plus 275. So somebody, if you took a shot on Matt Stafford preseason, you're sitting pretty right now, for sure.
And I mean, I said Matt Stafford's been my MVP for a while. He was not my MVP at 30. What you said, 33-1 to start the season. Like, I'm not sure too many people did take a shot on him at that number because of the back injury. I was among those talking heads that was like, if Matt Stafford's not on the field, the Rams are done, which I still believe if he's not on the field. But I didn't think that Stafford would start the season. I didn't think he would play till week 4 or 5. And at that point, like, then your stats are skewed. You've probably missed too much time to be in the MVP category. So I certainly am not someone who betted at 33-1 because I didn't believe I bought into the narrative of his back is not going to be okay. One big hit at his age and that back can be thrown out, or whatever issues, nerve issues he had, can come right back. So he's also just had a great offensive line keeping him upright. Like, hasn't taken all that many sacks this season, which is what's keeping him healthy. But it's kind of also like in the manner that he's done a lot of these things. Like, even yesterday, some no-look passes for touchdowns. Like, he's just crazy like that. One other player, Chelsea, that I think the odds are way too long on right now, the disrespect for Sam Darnold. Hand up right here. I was throwing massive shade at Sam Darnold early on in the season. I was disrespecting that man. He's been phenomenal this year for the Seahawks. And so for Sam Darnold to be 100-1, where Josh Allen, after the performance that Josh Allen had yesterday, is only plus 650, I think that's a misprice right there. 10-1, thank you, instead of 11-1 for Sam Darnold. But I think Darnold needs to be higher up in that category and is getting a little disrespected.
Yeah, but I feel like what sucks about this award is that a lot of it is narratives. And it's not just simply who has the best number. So as much as it pains me to say this, it does not feel like an award that Sam Darnold is going to win, just because people look at JSN and they look at the receivers around him. And plus, like, the eye test as well. Like, some of these passes that Matt Stafford was making were ones that would just make Chris Collinsworth fall over in his chair if it was Patrick Mahomes. And it's funny, you know.
Gus Johnson isn't calling those games, Chelsea.
It would be inaudible. We wouldn't know what he was saying. But speaking of Patrick Mahomes, and because this is a narrative-based award, Patrick Mahomes sitting there lurking at 5-1. And so looking at some of the numbers, Patrick Mahomes doesn't have, you know, the stats that fly off the page. 17 touchdowns, 5 interceptions, which is just fine. Quarterback rating of, let's see, 98.2, which is noticeably different than, like, Matt Stafford's 114. Jared Goff is 117. But we know this award is not based on numbers alone. Some of it's the eye test and some of it is narratives. Do you think there is a way that Patrick Mahomes steals this award from some of these guys who have better numbers?
Yeah, certainly, especially because the Chiefs only seem to continue to get better as the year has progressed. And I mean, for him to be where he is, he didn't even play this weekend. And I want to say his number dropped. I mean, correct me if I'm wrong, but I think he was plus 650 last week and he's 5-1 right now. So, I mean, Patrick Mahomes is always going to be in the conversation. He was the guy that was my favorite going into the season. As long as the Chiefs keep winning football games, it's going to be because of Patrick Mahomes, and that number is going to get shorter too. So I think Drake May has a lot of, do you call it pressure? I mean, it's only his second season. It's hard for a second year quarterback to win MVP. We don't see that all that often. So I think he has to be the one that really continues stuffing the stat sheet in terms of those touchdowns and the fewer interceptions in order to stay at the top, whereas Patrick Mahomes may be able to endure some volatility and still have those odds there because he is Patrick Mahomes and the name comes with it.
I think one of the knocks against the Patriots, which I don't think is a fair knock, has been that they have not faced the toughest schedule.
Yeah.
But, you know, they went on the road and beat the Bucs yesterday. That was a huge win for them and a good Bucs team. And Drake May had a good game in that game. But you look further down the schedule, it doesn't feel like there's going to be a ton of slip-up games for Drake May. But again, he is a young quarterback. So next, the Patriots host the Jets. Then they go on the road to the Bengals. They got the Giants. Then they do host the Bills. Maybe that'll be a tough one. Go on the road to the Ravens. go back to the Jets, and then they play the Dolphins at New England. So there are plenty of games left for Drake May to like pad the stat sheet. But I do think if Matt Stafford continues to put up these numbers, like, it's his award to lose. Like, I know that Patrick Mahomes, from an eye test perspective, is certainly one of the best quarterbacks, if not the best quarterback, I probably should say that, in the NFL. But for the Chiefs to win, he doesn't necessarily need to stand on his head. Like, this is still a good overall team, and the goal for the Chiefs is still to win a Super Bowl. It's not for Patrick Mahomes to pad the stat sheet. So I think that's kind of the sabotage factor for Patrick Mahomes. And then there's some people looking at other positions, like notably the season that Jonathan Taylor is having, where he already has over 1,000 yards rushing and 15 touchdowns. But Kate, we've seen this story before. You can have historic seasons as somebody who is not a quarterback and you will not win MVP. We have seen Cooper Kupp win the Triple Crown as a receiver and Super Bowl MVP. Did he win MVP that year? No. We've seen Derrick Henry break all kinds of rushing records, rush for over 2,000 yards in a season. Did he win MVP? No. So I still think it is a giant uphill climb for Jonathan Taylor to win MVP.
Yeah, I don't see it happening. It's a quarterback award. It should just be named after a quarterback and be called the quarterback award. You'd have to go back how many years before you get to Adrian Peterson, 2012, last non-quarterback and a running back in that matter to win MVP. But with how some of these quarterbacks are playing right now, I don't see that happening. If this were like a mediocre year for quarterbacks, and I feel like it kind of, the season kind of started in that manner, like no one really separated themselves, but here we are just over halfway through and you're seeing the Matthew Stafford and the Drake Mays pop, and that's what makes it even harder for Jonathan Taylor. Drake May, the two games that I think could really solidify his MVP candidacy, yeah, he's got a lot of stat padding games against the Jets and Bengals, but those back-to-back games against the Bills and then at Buffalo, or I'm sorry, at Baltimore. If he balls out in both of those games and the Patriots win those, that could be enough to kind of put his stamp on MVP for this season. Now, similarly with Matthew Stafford, the Rams still have two games against the Seahawks this year. Coming up in this next week, they host the Seahawks in week 12, and then down the road, third to the last game of the season, that one is against the Seahawks. They also play the Lions in there. So there are quite a few tough games for the Rams, where if Stafford continues this, that could be his stamp. But those are kind of like, Patrick Mahomes is always lurking, but those are the two front runners that I think will be the front runners at the end of the season.
Well, and also it does feel like Matt Stafford is more of a known commodity. Like, if you're picking one of two guys to fall off and like kind of fizzle down the stretch, are you going to go with Matt Stafford, somebody who has been playing in the NFL for it feels like 30 years, or Drake May? It's nothing, you know, against Drake May. It's just he is still a young quarterback, and we have seen this before. I think he's a great quarterback, but it's not a price that I would put on Drake May right now. Like, the name of the game is trying to figure out who could be, you know, still going up and their stock could be rising. I think there's still an avenue in which Josh Allen could win MVP. Right now, he's further down the board. He was the preseason favorite. He's plus 650. If there's anybody who can turn around a bad performance by following it up with like a four touchdown, no pick game, it's Josh Allen. So I still think that there is a pathway for him to be in the race as well. All right, hour three is next. We'll start with our biggest takeaways from Sunday Night Football. Is Aaron Rodgers washed? It's next on The Daily Tip.
In communities across the country, hourly Amazon employees earn an average of over $23 an hour, with opportunities to grow their career and their paycheck. Learn more at aboutamazon.com.
In a world of endless notifications, there could be an important one you're missing. Your kidneys may be signaling an SOS. With high blood pressure or type 2 diabetes, your kidneys could be warning you of early signs of damage, which may put you at higher risk for events like heart attack or stroke. But there's a simple test that can help spot a hidden signal. Ask your doctor about a urine test called UACR to help detect kidney disease and heart risk early. To learn more, visit detectthesos.com today.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
So you want to start a business. You might think you need a team of people and fancy tech skills, but you don't. You just need GoDaddy Aero. I'm Walton Goggins, and as an actor, I'm an expert in looking like I know what I'm doing, even when I don't. And I like the sound of starting my own business, Walton Goggins Goggle Glasses. But I'm an actor. I don't know what I'm doing. I needed help. GoDaddy Aero uses AI to create everything you need to grow a business. It'll make you a unique logo. It'll create a custom website. It'll write social posts for you and even set you up with a social media calendar. I didn't even realize I needed a social media calendar. GoDaddy Aero will take your idea that sounds good and make a business that looks like you know what you're doing. GoDaddy Aero can get your business up and running in minutes. You know what that sounds like? It sounds like a plan. Get started at GoDaddy.com/Aero. That's GoDaddy.com/AIRO.